Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Hour number two now officially underway. 251-343-0106. That's all you got to do. You want to be in touch with the show, just text me, and we'll respond to whatever it is that is on your mind to the best of our ability. Still to come on the program about a half hour from now, April Marie Fogle, Alabama Today, and in the 11 o'clock hour, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. But joining us on the line now, coming off of a primary victory last month, will be the Republican nominee in the first congressional district in November, and I think in all likelihood the next member of Congress for the first congressional district. But Congressman Barry Moore, now serving as the member from the second congressional district, joins us on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, we are doing good. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. Well, let's kick it off here. You've been spending some time here in this part of the new district, getting to know some of the local personalities, local officials. How has that been going?
You know, it's going really well. I'm so well pleased, Jeff, with Baldwin County, Mobile County leadership, certainly the folks up in Escambia, but just taking the time to sit down with us, educate us going into, you know, it's 8 months before we actually will be the congressman for that district before we're sworn into the new office, provided we win the general in November. But you know, it's just good to have people, the business leaders, the community leaders, the economic development folks, within that community sitting down with us and my team, my chief of staff, and some of my people that are going to be here in the district, traveling the district, to educate us. Because it's been said, you know, I know what I know. I know what I don't know. The danger is the things that I don't know that I don't know. And so for us to sit down with the leaders and say, okay, get us up to speed on the issues, the economic development, you know, that area there, Ball and Mobile County, to me, Jeff, it seems like for years it's been a hot ember, but oxygen is being added and it's really catching fire. And so there's going to be a ton of opportunities to develop business, investment, private-public partnerships, things that we can do to continue to grow the economy, certainly infrastructure we want to look at. But just so, so pleased with the leadership, the League of Municipalities pulled many of the mayors from both counties together for a luncheon we did. Congressman Joe Bonner, former Congressman Joe Bonner, now President of the USA, he likes to say. He came to the meetings, and it's been really, really helpful in just kind of pulling groups together, getting me up to speed on things and my team up to speed. And so it's going to be a very, very productive relationship. And, you know, it's like you asked me about this some time back. We did really well in the counties we already represented in the primary. Those counties, because we served those, so I tell these city leaders, whether you're a county commissioner, city council, mayor, whatever the case may be, our constituent services is second to none in the country. And so if you got veterans or business owners, those are things that we're going to provide services for and be very proactive. And we're looking to position offices down there now. So we're just trying to get a little ahead of the game, my friend.
Speaking of those offices, you made this pledge throughout the campaign, two offices in Baldwin County. Is that still on the table?
Absolutely. We're looking to put two in Baldwin County. They'll have one in Mobile. And we'll continue to do our mobile office hours, too, because there are things we're doing in the current district. We have 16 counties, and it goes north of Prattville, south to the Florida line, east to the Georgia line. And what we've done, there are some small communities within that area that maybe the veterans are not capable of driving, elderly people, even people who just don't have the time, their job restrictions, whatever the case may be, to come to a congressional office. So we do mobile office hours. So we're going to start, and on our U.S. Rep, Barry Moore, the Facebook page, people will be able to go onto that Facebook and say, hey, mobile office hours are going to be in Silver Hill, or they're going to be down in South Mobile County or wherever, so that if you need to sit down with your congressman in his office, we will be accessible. And so we will come to you in a sense. We'll be in City Hall or maybe a public library or county commission office, whatever municipality has some space, that we can go and sit down and meet with their constituents. And I told the folks, Ronald Reagan always said, there's no limit to what an individual can do if he doesn't mind who gets the credit. So I want the mayors, the city councilmen, to be able to lean on us to get the credit for taking care of their constituents, but cut that red tape in the federal bureaucracy.
Congressman, and you know, as you're getting acclimated to the district, and for the most part, your political cycle, the hard part's kind of over with. I know you technically you still have a general election and there is a Democrat candidate, but now that you've had some time kind of away from the campaign trail, looking at the big picture for November, first off, you talk about that seat, the second congressional district where your district's a part of, with that race and a Republican maintaining that. But big picture wise, how are you feeling about the House and the Senate and the White House in November?
So I'm going to give you some top secret information, Jeff. Actually, it's just about as good as anybody's opinion. But, you know, I've been talking to a lot of people on the Hill that are polling races kind of across the country, the U.S. Senate, the position that we're in as a nation, and the seats that are up for grabs, but there's some opportunities for Republicans. You know, the conventional wisdom is that we'll pick up 6 or 7 seats in the House. I think it depends on how well we do between here and November. But I think we'll probably end up winning the Senate and hopefully the White House based on what we're seeing. And so if that is in fact the case, I think that it bodes well for the Republican Party. Now, I have always said, Jeff, and you remember when we were in the minority party and I was doing your show, I would always say the Republicans with Pelosi in charge, we're kind of, put it into a football analogy, we were kind of deep in our own territory. So when we got the majority, we got the football. But I don't want us to take a knee. I think we have to move the country from crazy to more common sense. And some of the stuff that's going on in the country, whether it's the border, whether it's inflation, you just pick an issue right now. I think that the American people are looking for leadership. And I think the conservative side of our party needs to work well to try to move the ball, even with the current leadership. And I know Mike Johnson's got his hands full. He kind of got the snap, if you will, and he's trying to call some offensive plays. But, you know, in a lot of ways, we've got to move that ball back to common sense. So I think what we do between now and November is very important. It's vitally important. And we don't have to do anything for that matter. In some ways, I think sometimes we try to work with the Democrats a little too much, but if we don't make mistakes now, we don't give too much ground, I think there's an opportunity for us to gain a majority, build a pretty good team come November, and hopefully we can continue to move the ball. But I don't want us to kind of take a knee where we're at right now.
Well, what's this like inside the Republican caucus right now? I mean, you see how the media reports and Marjorie Taylor Greene with the motion to vacate. The media seem to be having a field day with that. Tell me if I'm wrong, because my perception of that is maybe it's not a gesture meant to really force Johnson out, but maybe more of a brushback pitch when you're on the mound and someone's crowded the plate or something, and hey, you need to pay attention to some of these fiscal responsibilities that Republicans have traditionally upheld. What are things like right now?
Yeah, I think you're right, Jeff. I think you're spot on with your analogy that I think what Marjorie's trying to do is get his attention. It's a shot across the bow that, hey, we don't have to go along with Schumer and Pelosi's spending levels. We don't have to do that. That's what's got us in the mess we're in. You know, and Mike is a nice guy, but sometimes I think you need to be a little more aggressive in a sense. And I think Marjorie's just trying to say, hey, sir, we really, really, we're pulling for you to be successful. We want you to be successful. He's a good man, but he needs to try to stand and hold the line and not go along. I mean, he's out. I mean, obviously, he's got Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer. They've been in the system forever. Mike hadn't been in D.C. for a terrible long time. And plus you got Hakeem Jeffries, who's the minority leader in the House. And he walks into the room sometime, and I think he gets rolled. I think he's taking advice maybe from some people that he don't need to be listening to. Maybe he's allowing the pressure, and we need him to hold the line. And so I think Marjorie's just trying to say, hey, we got your back, but we're going to need you to take a strong position. Because if we can get there in November, man, we don't have to sign our life away right now. We don't have to convince or commit to spending money we don't have and print money we can't afford to print to appease these people who are not on our side and who have moved the country in a terrible direction. I think holding the line for Mike Johnson and Marjorie trying to send the message, hey, sir, we really need you to hold the line on the issues. And I think it's a winning for us if we can just slow some of the appeasement. I think that's a bad idea. I think he needs to hold the line a little harder on, but more hard line on spending, putting downward pressure on spending. I think Marjorie's just trying to send that message. Yeah.
Well, and the thing about this, the appeasing the Democrats or some of these Republicans and, you know, whatever issue it is, among your caucus, the Republican caucus, sometimes it does seem like they are a little, they're a little too sensitive to what the media say and what they're telling them, particularly when it comes to, hey, sometimes you got to use the shutdown option as leverage to get some movement here, and it just doesn't, there is a fear of that among your caucus.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that that's the lack of leadership we've got right now, in the sense that Trump was able to label the shutdown when he was there, the Schumer shutdown. And we have put bills in the Senate to fund the government, certain approach bills, to secure the border, H.R. 2. So why are we going back to the drawing board in the House when we've already put the bills across the chamber into the other party, into the other chamber, into the Senate, for them to do something with? So why are we going back to the drawing board? And I think you're right, Jeff. I think where we fail to leverage a shutdown, I have said shut it down and fix it. You know, don't just keep funding this broken system that's putting all Americans, not only it's just the economy, I mean, inflation, the border's wide open. Why would we continue to fund a system that is so broken if we've got the option to say, hey, we haven't got to work with you, we will shut it down if we need to. But I think you're right. I think our guys and our party, get a lot of them are afraid. And of course, certainly the media is not on the conservative side in D.C., but sometimes the American people are. And we said this before. I mean, the people that shut down Bud Light want to see some leadership, you know. And I think sometimes we have to be willing to say, we will shut this broken system down to make the necessary repairs to get back underway in a way that the economy can grow and the private sector can do it, rather than letting government become god of everything, funding everything, creating all the jobs and printing all the money. It just puts all of us in a situation where we're basically, our own government ends up being just they're lording over us, and they're making our lives miserable. We want a government that actually gets out of the way of the American economy rather than tries to control everything. And so I think you're right, my friend. I think we need to be willing to shut this broken system down temporarily to make the necessary changes to get back underway.
What about, you know, just sometimes I guess it's this is the fear. Well, we're playing with house money, and if we get too far out there, we're going to cost ourselves the 2024 election. You don't want to do that. But what occurs to me is, like, maybe it'll cost you the 2024 election, Republicans are, by not being a little more aggressive here. I mean, what's the mood there, you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that the people are hungry for conservative leadership, and they don't recognize the government a lot of ways. And so, you know, I think that in many ways, that if we did shut it down and we're holding the line for the right reasons, like to secure the border and to get inflation under control, I think that the people would rally behind us. I don't think that it would hurt us. And so, but again, the media, which is not, they're not going to be on our side either way. So why on earth do we go along with Democrat policies? And I think the biggest thing for me, and what I've learned in the last 30 some odd months I've been in D.C., is that there is a uniparty in D.C. that really, they may identify as a Republican, they may identify as a Democrat, but it's business as usual. That's what the American people really, I think that's why Trump kind of got elected. I think that's why we see more and more of the House Freedom Caucus numbers growing. It's because the American people are sick and tired of business as usual. When you can't tell the difference between a Republican and a Democrat, except when they're running for office. Man, they are all conservative when they're running for office, or they're all liberal. But when they get to Washington, D.C., our conservative guys, we just kind of, seems like we just kind of blend in, and over time, those committees and that leadership role gets more of our attention than what the people sent us to do, is to fix the problems. And so I think that's a thing that we really need to, adhere to the campaign promises. If you run as a conservative, then by golly, be a conservative. And I think that's the thing right now. They get in there, they get a little bit too worried, like you said, about what the media is going to say, but they're not our friends. They're never going to give us a pass. I don't know why we try to appease them.
Well, last question, we'll get you out of here on this. Speaking of election prospects, but beyond just the Republican caucus, the House Freedom Caucus, even those who maybe aren't technically a part of the House Freedom Caucus, but identify or sort of associate themselves What do the numbers look like? I mean, how do you feel? I mean, you and I were talking off air about Bob Good, but are there some others there that y'all got y'all's eyes on?
As far as picking up for HFC,
just growing the HFC.
Yeah, I mean, there are some conservatives running across the country, you know, and I think that there's some guys that we and girls that we hope can get a win here and there, and so certainly Dinesh D'Souza's son-in-law out of Texas, he had a tough primary, but he will be one of those guys that'll be like me. He'll be a real conservative when he gets there, and he'll likely join the House Freedom Caucus, and so, you know, there are races across the country that we're watching, and I think that there is an opportunity to grow our numbers. But and certainly, you know, that's not, again, the uniparty in D.C., the establishment doesn't always appreciate that. And so, but I think our numbers in HFC have probably moved towards 40 over the last few years. And again, it's because the American people are tired of business as usual. And I think that's why we're seeing more populist candidates, whether it's me or an Eli Crane, guys who came in that were kind of, you know, maybe not as well funded. Maybe we didn't have the system and the endorsements from the typical leadership within our own party, but the American people and the populace out here said, hey, you know what? This guy may not have all the money, but he's got the right message, and we believe he'll vote his convictions. He won't just say he's a conservative, but he actually will be a conservative. And so there are races. I think that HFC probably picks up, maybe two or three more and through this November cycle. And again, it depends on what we do between here and November. And certainly, I would like to see our party gain the majority, but within the majority, we need people who are truly they're conservative, not only in what they say, but in how they vote.
Carson, we've got to get out of here. We're out of time, but thanks for making time as always. Let's do it again real soon.
Hey, thank you, Dave. Have a great weekend.
You do the same. Congressman Barry Moore there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show, 1FM Talk 106.5.
Time to get there. I'm East Town, just watch old Bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some have a mind in brakes.